sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, friends, siblings in Christ, God is always doing a new thing. God is always moving us in the direction of change, evolving us toward greater faithfulness, deeper peace, fuller grace. That's true in this exciting story from John's Gospel once again today. All the Gospels have a story about Jesus in the temple overturning the tables. That's interesting, actually. Most stories in the Gospels are not in all four Gospels, but this one is. But interestingly, here in the Gospel of John, this story comes right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in chapter 2. Okay, that's right after the "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The light coming into the darkness chapter, that's John chapter 1. And then right after that is this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, on the other hand, they all have Jesus driving out the money changers not until the beginning of Holy Week, at the end of his earthly ministry. It's part of what fuels the chief priests and the scribes' fire to have Jesus arrested and finally crucified, right? But here in the Gospel of John, Jesus does this at the beginning of his three-year ministry. What's happening here? Did John forget to mention him doing it again a few days before his passion, death, and resurrection? Because John doesn't mention it later. Did Matthew, Mark, and Luke have it wrong with their timing? I don't think so, because those Gospels were probably written long before the Gospel of John. Whatever conclusion you come to, whatever is going on here, it's something different in terms of what it means. John's Gospel, I think I've shared this before, it's very different. For one thing, Jesus doesn't show much emotion in the Gospel of John. Study the Gospel yourself and see if you disagree with me. He doesn't call names here in this text. He doesn't call them robbers or thieves like he does in the other Gospels. I don't even think he seems all that angry like in the other Gospels. In John, here in the Gospel of John, it's not an indictment on financial corruption or economic inequalities or social injustice. Jesus just says, don't make this place a marketplace. In John, it's always a deeply spiritual matter, which can arrive us at those other issues, but what's happening here first is a radical theological spring cleaning and replacement. See, the people were used to buying cattle, sheep, doves when they arrived in Jerusalem for the Passover. That's what you did as part of the ritual sacrifice. That's how people celebrated Passover. First, they would make a sacrifice by traveling all the way to Jerusalem from wherever they lived every year. I mean, that takes money. That takes time away from work and making income to support one's family. I mean, it's a sacrifice to go to Jerusalem to make a sacrifice. So first, you sacrifice just by traveling. And then getting into the temple, that it was believed, the whole reason you go to Jerusalem was because the temple was believed to be the only place God dwells. That's where God dwells, and so you go there. You can only go to D.C. to see the Declaration of Independence. You can only go, if you want to see the Liberty Bell, you got to go to Philly. If you want to go to where God dwells, you have to go to Jerusalem. And then, when you get there, after walking all those miles, they'd buy an animal to sacrifice. Like Professor Caroline Lewis of Luther Seminary says, you're not going to schlep a sheep from Galilee. You're not going to schlep a sheep from Galilee. Try to say that fast. So everybody is used to seeing this mall of animals inside the temple wall. It's like a farmer's market. And as for the money changers, by the way, this very well could have been their livelihood. I have a friend, he used to act out the scene from the perspective of the money changers. You know, Jesus knocking over everything and the money changers just like looking at him kind of calmly, but just disgusted. Like, man, that's my dinner for tonight. How am I going to feed my family now? Who is this guy? I think that's an interesting commentary on this story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That's a good entry point, you know, telling that story, maybe reenacting from the perspective of the money changers. But here in John, Jesus is doing something radically theological. You have to put on your theological glasses in the Gospel of John, probably more than the other Gospels. Jesus is doing something radically theological as opposed to political in the other Gospels. Jesus is throwing out ritual sacrifice. That's what he's doing. That's the radical replacement, the spring cleaning, the theological spring cleaning. He is throwing out the idea that you have to buy something to earn God's favor. I'd even say, as a Lutheran, he's throwing out the idea that you have to do something to earn God's good graces. Radical theological replacement, you see? Theological spring cleaning. Out with the old, that is the old idea that God only lives in the high temple, in the holiest of holies there in Jerusalem. Out with the old, that is the old idea that you have to buy a sheep or a goat or an ox or a dove and sacrifice it, which by the way is like so many other religions of that time, in order to get this inaccessible God to notice and bless you for the next year. What's happening here already in chapter 2 is that we're getting to see that God is breaking out. God, that is Christ himself, is breaking beyond the walls and the rules of the temple and the tradition. In fact, Christ himself is the temple now. That's what he goes on to say. There is no place to go where you can visit God because God is out there on the road, out there along our journeys of life, out there everywhere we look. We see it again that in John, Jesus just keeps moving. Jesus is out there. Among us, holiness is everywhere now, not just in temples or churches in our case. We go to church to celebrate that Jesus is out there among us in the world, everywhere, cannot be contained. And because Christ is everywhere, because God is everywhere, we're no longer chained to a checklist of sacrifices and journeys we have to make. Jesus becomes the temple, friends in Christ. And this temple, that is his body, is nothing but love. Nothing but abundant life. Nothing but peace and forgiveness and grace upon grace, overflowing, all-encompassing holiness. And that's what we're offered now. Here, friends in Christ. When holiness shows up everywhere, when we're covered by Christ, then we start to act differently. We do start to see things differently. We do start to use our money differently, vote differently, speak differently, serve differently. We don't change our ways because there's some kind of reward at the end. That's the old ritual sacrifice transaction. I'll give you this, God, so that you will give me that. Jesus overturns that table. We don't barter with God. We already have this reward. We only respond to God, who through Christ always acts first in love and generosity. God makes the first move. I think I've said that before. God always makes the first move. All we can do is respond. That's a short, great statement of faith. God always makes the first move. All we can do is respond. Or as my old mentor, Fred Denker, used to say, Jesus did the work. We just get to do church. When people are doing cruel things, especially church people, or people that I'd say, or people that say that they're Christians, it always makes me so sad. It's like they're reading the Bible but not understanding it. They're reading something and at the same time not seeing, not getting, not receiving that this God is pouring out love and forgiveness first. Not after we make some kind of sacrifice or do some kind of ritual or good work to earn this. Dearly departed, I think regardless of your political party, dearly departed Representative John Lewis of Georgia. John Lewis was a freedom rider. He marched with Dr. King and participated in those famous sit-ins in the Deep South where he and other African Americans would walk into a diner and just sit quietly, waiting patiently to be served. People would spit on them because they were black. They'd pour hot coffee and syrup on them, call them all the horrible names. And as John Lewis talked about this and other forms of nonviolent resistance, he said at the heart of it all was nothing but love. You have to love your enemies and those who persecute you, he said. I wonder if he was reading Howard Thurman and the Gospel of John too. Of course he was. And then he told this story from just a couple years ago before he died, when a former KKK member requested an audience with John Lewis because he wanted to apologize. And with tears in his eyes, this now very old white man says to John Lewis, I'm sorry for what I did to you those many years ago. My heart was filled with hate. Not anymore. Will you accept my apology? And John Lewis, the late, great John Lewis, said, I accept your apology. And then he reflects calmly in this interview that I saw with him. And he says, I accepted his apology. See, that's the power of radical love, the love of Jesus. It's the most powerful force in the world. And it has the power to overturn the table. Radical theological replacement. Friends in Christ, Jesus in the temple, this cleansing, this spring cleaning, this out with the old, in with the new, this breaking us out of old, oppressive, tit-for-tat ways and systems, and inviting us again to come and see. That's what's happening today. Christ is inviting us again down the road of discipleship, down that path of Jesus. This is a radical theological replacement, love, not law. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus comes not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. That's a different gospel. Here in John, it's love, not law. No more burdens or chains. Freedom is walking the way of compassion and forgiveness. New life This love, grace, mercy, and cleansing healing is for you, friend. It's right here and now, not just something that happened centuries ago. It's here now. Take a deep Johannine breath today in this Alleluia Anyhow Lent. Soak it up. Chew it down. Drink it in, this good news of God. Taste and see that God is great. Feast on this abundance that Christ offers freely to you today. Stand up straight. The old has been replaced with agape, unconditional love. And so we have been made new. Greater faithfulness, deeper peace, fuller grace. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!